Faces, Heels, and Tweeners. Sunday night's main event proudly brings to you the East Coast podcasting champions of the world, Brad the Dad and Greg Father Feltham, your Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dad, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are here to talk SmackDown tribute to the troops. Greg, I love the troops. I will always pay tribute to people who are men and women who serve, whether it's this great country of Canada or the United States, but... why is CM Punk on the show?
That is the $64,000 question.
I thought people are going to like wait for some deep political statement on my part, but it's like, no, it's there's lots of things people can say about military service and blah, blah, blah. But I just didn't care about CM Punk tonight.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I've been dreading this all week. Like, this has been that it's like. You ever get in a situation where you feel like that there's a knife dangling over your head and the rope is just getting thinner and thinner based on the weight of this knife. And you just don't know when it's going to fall, but you know it's going to.
Yep.
That's how I felt this all this week waiting for this damn episode of SmackDown.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. But can I tell you a story first so we can do something, talk about something positive before we get into this episode of SmackDown?
That's what I want to talk about.
Okay, good. Let's talk about anything but this episode of SmackDown. So tonight, I was supposed to move a fridge. So my brother-in-law is getting rid of his fridge.
Oh, okay.
There's literally probably not much wrong with it. Odds are he's never hearing this. I think it was mostly because his wife is particular.
Okay.
Gotcha. And it's 15 years old. So, you know, it could pack it in any day. But really, when you look at the inside of it, you're like, there's nothing wrong with this. So they get a new fridge. The guy is supposed to come pick it up. This guy I know through work is about an hour late, but no big deal. He gets a U-Haul trailer. We roll it on the back on a dolly. We roll it back out. And then afterwards, James is like, we should get something for supper. And I'm like, okay, cool, dude. We'll get like some chicken or we'll do whatever. And he's like, no. And he keeps turning down all the ideas I give him. And finally, for the first time in his 15 and a half year life, I take him to Burger King.
He's never been to Burger King?
I know. It's like, well, there's one like right near my house too.
Yeah, it's a BK. Have it your way. Yeah.
And so I'm trying to explain to him. The reason we've never taken him to Burger King is because it's kind of mid.
It's in a fast food burger, it's okay. But I mean, it's not the one that I go to in my head.
No, I mean, Wendy's has a better burger. Harvey's has a better burger. For those of you in America, that is a build-your-own-burger kind of place.
All you need to know about Harvey's if you're in America is watch How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, that's
old
pretty
King
much
Clancy
it.
Episode, they'll fill you in on Harvey's.
And it's essentially cooked the same way as a Burger King burger over an open flame.
Yeah. Yeah, meat fire, good.
Yeah, so it's easy. So... and you don't like fries from Burger King. So finally we go there. I'm like, okay, we'll order a Whopper. We'll split it. We got some chicken nuggets. We got some onion rings. And as he's eating it through, he starts the burger. And it's really good. The burger is actually quite good. And then he gets to like the chicken nuggets. He's like, these are mid. The fries are mid. The onion rings are mid. The chicken nuggets are mid. We even get the mozza sticks and somehow they're mid too.
Yeah, the onion rings are not great. But I mean... the best thing about Burger King is that when you order the fries and you get that mystery onion ring that shows up every once in a while, like that's special. It's like, and I'll go back to How I Met Your Mother. It's you get a plate of fries, but then there's that curly fry that's in there.
And you're wondering, how the hell did that happen?
No, it's not how the hell it happened. Like, that's the special fry, right? That's the one you fight over.
It's the bigger thing was he said it's like eating when the fries were hot. He's like, it's like eating terrible McDonald's fries that are kind of cold.
Yeah. All right.
It's not that it's bad. It's just he's like, Dad, you could have taken me here, gotten a burger, then come home and put some fries in the oven, and you would have done a better job cooking them.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
It's not bad. It's just not great.
Yeah, it's there. The best thing about Burger King, and this is a pro tip, it's the damn apple pies.
Yep.
Because they do them like Harvey's, they do them the way McDonald's used to and deep fry the shit out of them. And that's the only way it's really fit to actually eat.
Well, and the other thing I wanted to go back, I said to him afterwards, eating these kind of soggy fries, I'm like, these might be good poutine fries.
Maybe. I mean, if I'm going to be a stomp right now, if I'm getting poutine anywhere this time of year, it's going to a local place here called Cheese Curds that does the Christmas dinner poutine. And that is like chef's kiss.
Do you want to explain to our listeners what a chicken dinner poutine is?
The Christmas dinner poutine?
Yep.
It is obviously the base is obviously fries. On top of that would be your turkey, roasted turkey. There is stuffing on top of that. There is green peas. And I think the only other thing in it, and I don't actually have it, so I pull it, is cranberry sauce. I've never been a huge fan of cranberry sauce. And then, of course, cheese curds and then turkey gravy over top of it. And it is by far, yeah, amazing. Amazing. So,
yeah, and they do like especially put in there all kinds of them. So I highly recommend cheese curds. It is, I try to talk him into cheese curds. He's like, no, we had that recently. I'm like, what's wrong with you, boy?
See, he wrong play.
But he got it in his head. And I said to him, the best part about this is we're there and there's this nice young lady who's serving us. And I'm like, I know you don't normally give the crowns out just to anybody, but this is his first time at Burger King. And then he starts singing the BK, have it your way. And she cracks and she goes over and gets him a crown.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So he's eating his mid-food with his crown on.
Yeah. So the last time I actually got one of those crowns is we ended up a couple of years ago at Burger King for my mother-in-law's birthday. And I managed to get one of the crowns and make her wear it. I think it was like her 66th birthday. And that's, I don't know why we ended up at Burger King. I don't know if we were going out to like a Thunderbirds game and it was along the way or something like that, because her birthday's the end of November. But yeah, that we ended up at Burger King for some reason, and yeah, I made her put on the damn crown.
There's like two in the city. There's one in Tacoma, which is very close to my home, yep. And then there's one on Yonge Street.
Yep. There's also one in Sackville.
Yeah, but nobody goes there.
No, there's one out in Enfield, out by the airport.
Yes, because it's in that the big stop now. It's there next to the big stop.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it. There's not a lot. There used to be one in Burnside, so that was actually near the office.
Yeah, and there was one for a while in not the one on Yonge Street, and then there was the one over in Clayton Park, and that one closed as well.
There was one in Clayton Park.
Yes, that was the one. It was like not too far away from Mount St. Vincent University because that's where I got all of my Pokemon.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was the one that sold in the kids' meals. They were selling Pokemon in balls and eventually it killed the kid. I guess somebody put a plastic, like it was like two halves of a Pokeball and it literally cracked open and your Pokemon little stuffy was in it. And somebody gave that to a baby in a crib and the kid died. And so for like 10 years, you could take those Pokeballs back to Burger King and get very mid fries.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I don't remember. I know there's also one at Bears Lake.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's not a place we go too often. I can't. Yeah,
it's, I think this is like my second time in 5 years.
Yeah.
Remember, there was one during our famous road trip to Boston and then the Popeyes chicken was there and that ended that discussion.
Yeah, no, we had Popeyes. Popeyes is good.
the best part was he got a drink with it and he was like, looked at all the options and he's like, oh, cherry Coke and all these things. And he's like, oh, there's this like lemonade machine. So he picks the kind of lemonade he wants. He presses the button. He takes one sip of it, looks at me and goes, oh, this is a preview for what I'm in for. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just mid.
Yeah. Sorry for your life, kid. That's what you're getting when you go to BK. But it was which is actually pretty well what we got tonight.
It's not bad. It's not good. It's just kind of mid.
Yeah.
And it was Tribute to the Troops. And I hate that Tribute to the Troops is just mid, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, when we saw it was announced for this show in advance, we kind of said this last week, like one of these things is not like the other. One of these things should just go home. And we kind of could tell what was going to happen here before they even started tonight's show. So, not surprised by any of this. This is a four-match show, but in reality, it's probably a one-match show, maybe two.
Maybe two if you're generous. So, Greg, what episode of SmackDown are we reviewing tonight?
Oh, yeah, that part. This is episode 1268. Tribute to the Troops from Providence, Rhode Island. See nobody. Nobody. I don't see nobody. Who's stepping to
me? I don't see nobody. I don't see nobody. So let's begin this show. We begin with War and Treaty. Did I get the name of that band right?
You did. I had to rewind three times to make sure because that is the strangest name of a band I've ever heard in my life. But sure.
Especially for one that's singing America the Beautiful or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, what did you end up like breathing in beer or something down your nose, like air pipe or?
No, I just sneezed because I got a cold wind. It felt like a cold draft coming over my soul as we review this. Oh, I feel like I'm supposed to say something. I got a note here. Hold on a second.
Okay. All right.
All right. Hold on. Let me rattle this. Okay.
Dig out that paper.
Okay. So here's what it says.
Okay.
And so under legal counsel, I have been advised by my legal counsel to read this tonight on the Smack Daddies podcast.
Okay.
Okay. It says, Dear Mr. McKinnon, on behalf of the stunning one, the patron saint of stunning, Sean Burkhead, you are required to no longer, I guess it's technically cease and desist, ban Sean Burkhead from Canada. There is no legal action that has been taken against Mr. Burkhead that would prevent him from entering your great country, and saying anything negative against Mr. Burkhead or his podcast or any of the Burkheads out there. I guess that's supposed to be his fans, Greg.
The Burkheads are his fans?
Yeah, I guess that's according to this.
Okay. So first of all, there are people who are Burkhead's fans?
Apparently. Okay.
Okay.
And the Burkheads. If you do not let him back on the podcast at some point, and do not stop making jokes about Burkhead-free SmackDowns, then you will be facing legal consequences of slander and defamation. So please, in future, only refer to Mr. Burkhead or Sean or the patron saint of stunning in the proper way, or else you will face further legal consequences. Signed, Mr. Burkhead's lawyer.
Well, I tell you, I mean, first of all, you know, breaking the bank there, Berkey, on that legal letter with a sign, Mr. Burkhead's lawyer. I mean, first of all, the Mr. Burkhead's lawyer law firm, one of the most prestigious law firms in the great Knoxville area. You know, I mean, the least you could have done was gotten the good mayor or something to send a letter, a cease and desist letter. Like, come on, he's not doing anything. He's not burning anything down in Knoxville anymore. Like, he's got time to spare.
He might come invade Canada, in fact.
Well,
he can say we can give him citizenship. He can run for become prime minister.
Here's what I can say for Berkey. You know, we'll put you on probation for now. Let's see how much you annoy me over the next little bit. But There are no open invitations, let's just say, to Knoxville to show up on the Smack Daddy's podcast in the near future.
Hey, listen, he could have taken this one. Would you have been upset?
I'm kidding about that. Yeah, Burkhead, you should have probably done this episode for us. Myself and Brad had a night off.
So JBL's our guest commentator. How do we feel about JBL? I think he actually made this show better.
JBL, I think, you know, last week I said that I was calling our episode Tribute to the Scissors, and I'm still kind of debating maybe to use that one as the episode title here tonight for Smack Daddies, but dear God in heaven, I laugh so hard when I hear him talking about Kevin Patrick, and he said St. Patrick should have kept the snakes in Ireland and drove out the Irish.
Oh, he just had some A material tonight. Yeah.
It makes you miss a good heel commentator, right? Like, you know, they even bring up a little bit later Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon at one point. You're just like, they don't make them like that anymore, right?
Occasionally, you can get some of that from Wade Barrett.
Yeah. But,
and Corey Graves has his moments when he's passable. But, yeah, they don't make him like full out heels. And we need a heel commentator. It would really, especially with Michael Cole on one side and Kevin Patrick playing the straight man, you really could use a heel commentator.
Yeah. I mean, like the amount of praise he leaped on Dirty Dom in this episode tonight, it was rather high, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, that leads perfectly into our first match where we're going to get Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee. And of course, as you already hinted, Dirty Dom's out there just standing next to commentary. But before we get into the match, we have to start where we're meant to start. We have to start with recap number one. Hey, Greg, do you have Alzheimer's? Did you forget what happened last week?
I did, in fact. So I'm glad that this was here to tell me.
Yeah, because this shows how Santos basically destroyed the rest of the LWO and tried to get Dragon Lee, but Dragon Lee fought him off, which did not bode well for Mr. Lee, who, by the way, is wrestling tomorrow night on NXT Deadline. Did you know that by the end of this match?
I did, in replacement of Wesley, because I'm guessing that they couldn't get Bruce Lee, and Brenda Lee is too busy singing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree right now. So, yeah.
Oh, actually, poor Wesley looks like he broke his back. He's going to be out for a year.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. I mean, I joke about everyone apparently got to be named Lee to get a title shot in NXT, but yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, listen, Dragon Lee is a good sub for the match. Hopefully he has a good showing. But this match was really all about Escobar and Escobar finding a way to pull out this win. I mean, we start it with Dragon Lee and he's showing off his hops, his flips, his jump over the corner. He rolls back in and kicks Escobar in the corner, but he gets caught in the ropes by Escobar, and Escobar hits a beautiful swing neck breaker, almost like a hangman's neck breaker in the ropes. And I think this is where we then get Dragon Lee trying to jump over the ropes again for a Rana, and Escobar catches him and power bombs him on the apron, which gives us our commercial. Greg, this was, not only were we getting great commentary in this match, this sequence here in the beginning was probably the best sequence on the show.
Yeah, I think so.
And the problem with this was that this was like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Well, the crazy part was that this match continued. We get an amazing sequence where Dragon Lee does that thing where he tries to get close, hits a high power bomb. But eventually Escobar spins out. He gets a distraction from Dirty Dom and he catches Dragon Lee with the Phantom Driver for the win. And Dragon Lee is the number one contender for the NXT North American title, but he's losing in the US title tournament very convincingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, we knew this, right? We knew this going in. This was not going to be, Dragon Lee wasn't going to win this. This was going to be Santos Escobar winning, the same way as we knew in advance what was going to happen in the subsequent match, right? The next match that we're going to cover like in 40 minutes time, once we get through the next segment of the show. So
which is basically just a bunch of recaps, by the way.
Yeah, but we'll get to there. But it's just like, all right, I'm watching it. I mean, maybe it's like rewatching an old movie, because that's essentially what we got in this match. It was the exact same match we got last week. It was the match we got the week before. It's the match we got the week before. It's very, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use the word here. It was very Vince McMahon-esque.
Ooh. Yeah, because it's not that these guys can't put a good match on. It's just, this is like the third time we've seen them wrestle.
Yeah, I've seen this. I've seen it recently. I mean, sure, if it's next month, maybe. 2 months down the road, absolutely. But I don't need to see the same thing over and over and over and over.
And over and over. The problem is we need, Escobar needs somebody to be on his side so that we can get some more mixing and matching of dance partners.
Yeah.
And that's that. Until that happens, we're in this loop. So Dom, at the end of it, spits on Dragon Lee, and this sets up their deadline match for tomorrow. Greg, it's been like too long. We talked about a whole match before we got recap number two. Hey, it's Randy's choice, Greg. It was Randy's choice, and we found out how Randy came over to the Blue Brand. And at least they address this. This is where they get credit, because instead of just ignoring the fact that he RKO'd his new boss, we have Randy Orton in the back. He is there with Nick Aldis, and they're talking. And he explains that LA Knight and Randy Orton are going to team up. And we have Randy Orton paying a fine to Nick Aldis. And it's for $50,000 for hitting the RKO. And then Nick looks at the check and says, wait a second, this is for $100,000. And he's like, yep, $50,000 for the last RKO and $50,000 for the next one.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like Randy Orton, just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what you expect from a character like Randy Orton or a character like Kevin Owens. This is absolutely perfection, and probably the most entertaining thing on the show tonight was this segment.
Face Randy Orton. And I use that in quotes, because even when he's a good guy, he's not really a good guy.
He's still going to RKO you.
He is still going to RKO you out of your boots. And apparently Cody has gotten the Raw day pass, and he's on SmackDown Tribute to the Truth. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
We're both sitting here just going, because Cody comes out. He asks Providence, what do you want to talk about? He talks about the tradition of this event. And then they get what I'm going to call a historical recap. Recap number three. And we get highlights of Tribute to the Troops, demonstrating how SmackDown's been going on, and then we get the drill team come out, which is very impressive. But I felt like this could have been done by anyone.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. This was putting Cody on the show to put Cody on the show.
Yeah, so we could have him interact with CM Punk later. I think that was the whole reason he was here. Yeah. And then Brad Nesler from CBS Sports is on Fox. Like, is this allowed?
Sure, I'm guessing.
He's here because Navy's playing Army tomorrow and he's covering that game, and the poor guy has to sit through a Bobby Lashley match. Actually, scratch that. He gets the privilege of sitting through a Bobby Lashley match. However, unfortunately, Bobby's wrestling Karrion Kross.
Yeah, well.
Poor Karrion Kross. I mean, okay. Poor Karrion Kross's wrestling career, but not poor Karrion Kross because Scarlett's with him.
I mean, that's fair.
And he's getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the highlight of Karrion Kross tonight was his entrance, which is usually the highlight.
Yes, because there's lots of focus on his wife. I find that Montez Ford used to be in the military, but he's not wrestling on this show.
No. Why was that even here? Just to say he was in the military, because now they don't have Lacey Evans to put on TV?
Sure, I guess.
She's too busy at home with her OnlyFans?
Yeah, OnlyFans and her... Doesn't she have like a cupcake store or something?
No, you're thinking of... oh my God. The one who used to be the GM that drove me nuts.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
And Mandy.
Mandy and her have a... But Sonya? I thought... Yeah, but I thought that What's-Her-Name was also going to do a cafe. No, just the OnlyFans. Okay, that's whatever. It works. Yeah, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose's cupcake business. So Cross starts with a little bit of offense, but basically Bobby just beats the crap out of him and spears him into oblivion. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Poor Karrion Kross. I mean, you're married to Scarlett, but your wrestling career is over as long as you're in WWE.
Yeah.
But why wasn't Bobby's kids with him there? I mean, I guess this thing was here with now that you mention this and I remind myself about Bobby's kids. I guess Montez is here because he's somehow tied to Bobby.
Sure.
But his wife is here. Why? They literally could have just had the Street Profits roll out with him like they normally do and just laugh about their dad just destroying Karrion Kross.
Well, that's where we are.
Okay, so you know what? It's been about 25 seconds. We need another recap. Recap number four. We see all of the nonsense with Damage Control from last week. And you look confused. Did I cut for a quick second? Oh, okay. I thought you just looked confused because we had a weird recap in the middle of nowhere.
No, you cut it for a quick sec, so.
Okay, whatever.
Leave it in. Keep going.
Yeah, nuts this. I don't cut things out in post. That's not my jam. We have to set up a match against Asuka and Bianca tonight. And then I'm like, wait a minute, no, that was last week. We have to set up a match between Asuka and Charlotte tonight.
Yay.
I thought Bianca had to run through Damage Control in order to get a rematch.
I mean, that would be logical.
So if Charlotte runs through the other members of Damage Control, does she get a rematch too?
Sure.
And if Shotzi starts running through members of Damage Control, does she get a match?
Why not?
At this point, it's like if I can get Maddie down to FCW, can she run through members of Damage Control on SmackDown and then she can get a title match?
That seems logical to me.
I don't know if Maddie can beat any members of Damage Control, but I do know she'd probably take Rio.
Could she beat any members of Damage Control?
No, I don't think she could, but Rio she could. Maddie's like got like 50 pounds in Rio. And 6 inches.
I think though that oh my god, the new one that came back.
Oh yeah,
our pirate princess, Kairi. Yeah, I think she could beat Kairi.
Well, at this point,
all Kairi's done, she's come back as lose. So,
oh yeah. Also, probably Dakota right now. I'll just tell Maddie, aim for the knee brace, kick her in the knee.
Sure. I mean, that's yeah.
Poor and every time I see poor Dakota, I'm like, there's about to be fighting, and Dakota disappears.
Yeah.
She needs some smoke bombs, dude. Like Batman. She just throws the smoke bomb down and poof, gone.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, that would make more sense than what they do with her right now. Because she just keeps, yeah, it just keeps happening. So, oh, I don't want to talk about this.
I know.
We'll get through this together, Greg.
There's one part of this that I actually enjoyed and the rest of it, not really.
Okay, so Scumbag Punk comes out and he's on SmackDown. I'm hoping he gets signed to Raw next week because if I have to see Scumbag Punk again, by the way, I think
miracles are your department. So, I mean, we need to pull one off here.
The crowd's chanting for Scumbag Punk. And then Scumbag says, hey, by the way, I'm out here in the middle. And that means that they can't, if my promo runs long, they can't cut me. It's like, where were you for the rest of this show when we needed more filler?
No. What this is that this is a shot because friggin' his first trip back on Raw, he goes there and his time gets cut because one of the matches runs over. So he's back less than a friggin' what, 2 weeks?
And he's taking shots. Week
and
a half,
and he's already taken shots within the company. I'm like, you know what? Screw you.
Just
screw you, dude.
Be a professional and suck it up. So he gets the crowd to boo Adam Pearce. Good job. The guy who you're going to sign a contract with. And Punk asks the crowd whether he should go to Raw or SmackDown. And well, they want him to be on SmackDown. That makes them and not me. So Scumbag is there and he decides that he wants to hear the crowd cheer. And he wants, do you want me to get spicy? No, I want you to get along with your coworkers and not get yourself into trouble. That's what I would like.
I want you to I want you to get off my damn screen.
So the crowd's more is still happy for him. And then he talks about getting involved with the bloodline. I say no. He talks about trying to finish his own story. And he wants to be involved with that. He puts over, I guess he sort of puts over LA Knight. Does he really put over LA Knight?
Yeah, not really.
Okay. He then says he's going to talk to Shawn Michaels, which is hilarious because I could imagine what that conversation looks like.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. You know what? I signed with WWE so I can go back to NXT.
Do you know what? As long as it's not on SmackDown, it's all we want.
Could you imagine him being down there and try? Like, what do you learn in NXT from CM Punk?
That his last name is actually Lee. he adopted his wife's name.
You learn that getting in backstage fights is not going to endear you to the locker room. If you don't like what you, if you get upset with a coworker, you should punch them in the face. Fighting with your boss is 101. Yeah, politicking 101.
I just solved it, dude.
What?
CM Punk is going to show up tomorrow night on the NXT show because Wesley is out. Dragon Lee got his ass beat tonight. He's not going to be around. So tomorrow night, Dirty Dom taking on AJ Lee.
Oh.
You heard it here first.
Or you named it before. He's no longer, he'd be Chick Magnet Lee.
Yeah.
So CM Lee. He explains that it's almost been 10 years to the day and the town that he walked out on, he's going to find out that, and he is back to finish his story.
Oh, hold on. You didn't cover Kevin Owens.
Oh yeah. He took a shot.
That was the line.
Okay. Go ahead.
When he's speaking about Kevin Owens, he's talking about, you know, punching people in the face, punching people backstage in the face and how you can't do that. It's 2023. You can't be randomly punching people in the face.
Yeah, and the line, it's like, I know he's referring to Kevin Owens, but we all know what he's actually referring to.
Yeah, 100%. And that there was the only thing that was really enjoyable about CM Punk's promo was me having a little chuckle of like, okay, at least you're picking fun at yourself too.
Yeah, and he should be picking fun at himself. But at the end of the day, I have no time for him because I don't, like when he starts a promo by making fun of the fact that people are running long, it's like, dude, you are like, you don't need to make, like, the other joke is funny. This one is just him being annoying. And he took up a lot of time. And on the show, we already had Cody doing a thing. We didn't need CM Punk.
Yeah.
This was all between the two of them. There was another match to be had here.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. There really was.
There was a tag match. There was something. So anyways, I hope he signs with Raw. I don't need to see him anymore. I just find the guy pretentious. I think that he's overhyped. And at one point I was a big Punk fan and now I'm just like, it's like dread whenever I see him. It's just this feeling of dread and whether something's going to go wrong.
Yeah. 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 I can't disagree with any of that.
Oh, and then we get him running into Kevin Owens backstage after this. And when he asks, where is Nick Aldis's locker room? Kevin Owens kind of no-sells it. And I don't know where it is. And he just keeps going. It's like, it updates Kevin Owens having a busted up hand. And it shows the interaction between somebody else who is in the news getting along with CM Punk.
Sure.
Is this leading to anything?
I don't know, and I'm not even sure I care.
Well,
I do know what, now that I know CM Punk is going to be on a lot of these PLEs, I don't know if I'm going to be watching a lot of WWE PLEs going forward.
Yeah, I think we feel the exact same way about him, which is kind of scary because sometimes we agree, but very often we have a healthy debate, but both of us are just over him. Like, I was a huge CM Punk fan and now I'm just annoyed.
Yeah. Yep. It's sad. It really is.
I think he, remember we were on this podcast one night doing our podcast, and then we were watching AEW, and we like stopped recording so we could watch CM Punk's return. And we were both very excited and thought, wow, this is going to be great for the industry. It hasn't been great for, it was not great for AEW. And in fact, you can see the downfall of AEW revolving around the foolishness backstage with CM Punk.
Yeah.
So let's continue. Poor Asuka and Charlotte have to follow this. And I say poor them because, yeah, like I felt like the crowd did not recover. I felt like the crowd was down for this match.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment of what this was.
So before the match, we have all of Damage Control coming down. The smoke bomb appears and poor Dakota Kai disappears as Zelina Vega and Meechan come flying out of the crowd and they're beating up Kairi and Io. And as they retreat, they're met in the by Shotzi and Bianca at the top of the ramp, and the brawl continues into the back.
Sure.
Damage control's gone. No one's at ringside. Dakota Kai has disappeared into the smoke. And yeah, we finally get a match. Except that the whole match revolves around Charlotte. Well, I thought originally, Greg, I wrote my notes. This revolves around Charlotte's hand because early on she's shopping and she misses jits post. But it's not that. It revolves around some sloppiness because Charlotte hits her moonsault that hits nothing. I mean, and that's our commercial break. That is the worst one of the Charlottes in a while.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, you try, Brad, like, You try to find the good in some of this, but dear God in heaven.
Yeah, well, and the best part is Michael Cole in commentary. She didn't get all that. No crap, Michael Cole. No crap.
Did she get any of that, Michael?
Did she even make contact, or did Asuka fall down because she didn't want to get a boot in the head?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
So we come back. Asuka's trying to attack Charlotte, and eventually, Bayley comes out and Bayley distracts Charlotte. There's some interference, and Asuka wins by rolling up Charlotte. So, Charlotte doesn't beat anybody from Damage Control, so she can't get a title match. And Bayley finally does the right thing.
Sure.
I was going to be like, Greg, what do you think of this match?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I think of this match.
So, really, though, we had one really good match. We've had two squash matches with one with a squash ending and one with a funky ending. And the hits just keep coming. Because we have Cody in the back with CM Punk.
Literally.
Yeah. Well, Cody's in the back with CM Punk. And they're there. And he says, I see you're in the Rumble, which means that you're good. This must be how you're going to finish your story. And they awkwardly shake hands and stare at each other. And somewhere the Young Bucks are crying. Aren't you our friends? Aren't you our friend, Cody?
Yeah. So, I don't even know anymore, Brad.
Tribute
I really don't.
Tribute Troops continues where we hear about this poor soldier whose friends died in how he lives for them. It was a touching story, but I was like, why?
Yeah, why? That is probably the best reason here. This was nice. It was great information. I'm sure there's lots of that stuff, but I mean, is this the place to put this? Like,
I was waiting for a Wounded Warriors thing where they're going to talk about how you can hire veterans or something, but that wasn't even part of this.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, you know what makes less sense? Let's have more Logan Paul. So recap number 6. Hey, Logan Paul's here, Greg. I'm not sure why.
Sure. To annoy your kid, I'm assuming.
Sure. And so that he can sell some Prime Energy drinks.
Again, seems reasonable.
And I feel like somebody should have put a leash on CM Punk because he's just wandering backstage as we have Orton there and LA Knight comes in. And I think they're going to talk strategy or they're going to have an interaction. And Punk walks in and wishes them luck. And then Orton looks at Knight and says, are you ready? And he says, yeah. And that's it. That, why does CM Punk need to be in this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Guys, I haven't been on screen for 5 seconds. Don't forget about me. If he would have come out and hit a GTS in the to finish this match, I would have made perfect. It would have been the perfect cherry on top of the CM Punk shit sandwich.
That would have at least made better sense to you?
No, it just would have made me go, like, seriously, he wasn't on TV. Why?
I wish I could tell you.
So our main event tonight. Okay, so first of all, we get queued up for next week. Roman Reigns is back. Do you know why Roman's on next week's episode?
Probably so he doesn't have to be on screen with CM Punk.
I think it's a double taping.
Oh, probably.
So
if that would make logical sense.
So if it's a double taping, you get two Romans.
Yeah, I would say that you're probably right. It's probably a double taping. Let me get the crack research team on that.
So besides that, NXT superstar number two, or as chosen by Shawn Michaels, will face off with Grayson Waller. And Kevin Owens will face Austin Theory in that U.S. title match. Okay, so Kevin Owens won last week, but because it wasn't a title, it wasn't a tournament match, it doesn't matter.
Sure. It's like the points made up. Yeah. So who's lying?
We've already had the Bloodline come out before the commercial. So here comes LA Knight and then Randy Orton. So LA Knight, Randy Orton versus the Bloodline's Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. And originally, nobody likes each other. That is the story of this match, is that neither of the tag teams are getting along.
Really? Never would have guessed.
That's a very unique storyline for WWE.
Yep, never been done before.
So we get some interaction early on between Knight and Orton, and then Jimmy and Solo, and both people are blind tagged in. And eventually, so Orton's in, okay, there, and he's facing off with Solo, and we're looking for get some action. And out of nowhere, Jimmy attacks from behind, and down goes Orton. And that's your commercial.
Yeah, that's what we got.
Randy is fighting back, and he makes the hot tag afterwards. LA Knight's the House of Fire. He's running around, but eventually Solo cuts him off. He hits the that basically Umaga butt blast to the face. He tries
good
to
old, the good old Umaga butt to the face.
Well, that thing where like Umaga goes like back first, but his butt is hitting you while you're sitting in the corner. And when he tries the second time, he misses. This gets Orton back in. Orton is after Jimmy. He's a house of fire. He's hitting his slam. He's hitting his vintage Randy Orton draping DDT. But eventually Solo's back in. There's a save by Knight knocking Solo out, and it looks like he's going to hit blunt force trauma on Jimmy. And nope, Randy Orton pulls him out and hits the RKO. There's a little tension at the end, but the good guys beat the bad guys. And of course, Jimmy took the pin. And if you notice, Jimmy's doing something fun when he gets hit. Apparently, he'll lie there for 5 or 6 minutes after the show's off. He just lies in the middle of the ring, selling the finish. It's amazing. If you watch, the referee went and checked on him, but he did not move at all after the pinfall.
Nope. Not at all.
He's a pro's pro. Greg, what did you think about our main event?
I was thankful that this was over.
This was the most tribute to the troops SmackDown this possibly could have been.
Yep.
Because it wasn't that it was, it just was eh. And if you notice, all the good guys won.
That's true.
Except for Asuka, but I would consider her a good guy.
Yeah, okay.
So it was, I guess technically Dragon Lee lost too, but I'm not, again, who's the heel in that one?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, essentially, it's tributes to troops. It's like short matches, lots of promo packages. It was the most tribute to troops SmackDown. And yeah, next week we get the Bloodline back. Yay.
Well, Brad, I just got noticed back from our crack research team.
Yes.
Next week is Green Bay, Wisconsin, because, I mean, we haven't been there lately. And then that's it until January the 5th when they go to Vancouver.
Whoa. So wait a second. So next week, if I'm doing the math, it's 26.
Next week is the 15th.
Okay, so then
you would get the 22nd and the 29th.
So are they filming three episodes of SmackDown, or are we getting a highlight show in the middle there?
I think we're going to get, next week will be a live show, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess the 22nd is going to be recorded and 29th is going to be a clip show.
Does that mean we get to do a clip show?
I think the SmackDaddies are going to be starting their Christmas break pretty early this year.
Well, you know what the good news about that is? I hear somewhere in there that we're recording the best and worst of. So I think that the best and worst of is going to be enough listening to. And I know that there'll be a version that will air on the radio over the Christmas break. And so you'll be able to hear like 1 hour clips. But I know Boris is planning for us not to record just for 2 hours.
Yes, that is my understanding as well.
I think there'll be a lot of heavy thinking done that day.
Yes, heavy thinking. Yes.
Yes. Yes, I may have used the wrong letter because I am dyslexic, but
well, I mean, it happens.
It happens.
I really wouldn't worry too much about, you know, the semantics of that. But Brad, I think I hear something.
Yeah, so do I.
Your SmackDown synopsis.
All right, Greg, Ms. Big Voice has queued us up. Let's take this home. So this is Maddie's second appearance on the podcast, because some of you may have noticed we have a new introduction to the show, and having her participate in that is always a bit of a thrill. She joked that she's going to put it on her resume now that she is a voiceover actor.
That seems reasonable to me.
Well, yeah, she's done two of them now. So let's go back through Tribute to the Troops and decide whether it's Tribute to the Scissors.
All right.
So do you want to keep God Bless America?
I think we have to. I think that's buried somewhere in the U.S. Constitution that WWE has to do this at least once a year.
Okay, how about the introduction of JBL?
Sure.
What are we doing with poor Dragon Lee and Escobar?
Oh, we're cutting the shit out of this. This is gone.
Oh, you're not even going to superstar it.
Nope, gone.
And so Escobar gets a bye to the next round.
Do you know what? Here's the thing. I'm just going to say, what you can do here is you can actually put your own recap of any of the clips in the last 3 weeks of these damn matches that we've seen. You can throw a little clip in here and that's it. That's all you need.
Okay. So what about the bit in the back with Nick Aldis and Randy?
Best part of the show. Keep it.
Keep it. What about Cody coming out and tributing to the Truths?
Do you know what? I'll leave this here just because people like to say whoa. So yeah, we can keep the whoa part, and that's really probably all you need.
Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross.
Do you know what? I'm gonna superstar this only because I feel a little bit bad for Daddy Lashley. I mean, the man is a veteran, so we've got to leave him somewhere on the show. So we'll leave him here.
I thought you were gonna tribute it and cut it down and just have Bobby Lashley's entrance, Karrion Kross's entrance. We'd watch Karrion Kross's entrance from a different angle, and then the finish.
Yeah, that's the superstar.
Oh, and what about all of the stuff with CM Punk?
Cut in the segment entirely.
Well, yeah, great. CM Punk running into Kevin Owens in the back.
Yeah, we're cutting that too.
I only wanted to keep that just because I like the way I like Kevin Owens, but you know, you're right. Asuka and Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut this match.
Yeah. Okay, what about CM Punk hanging out with Cody?
I'm gonna cut that.
Okay. And So what do we do with the part with the soldier?
Well, that's the tough one. That's really the tough one here. Because it's tribute with the troops, I've got to keep it. Only because they've got a contractual amount of hours they got to make up here to because otherwise right now we're looking at about a whole 6 minutes of TV we've gone through so far.
Randy Orton and LA Knight are interrupted by CM Punk.
We're gonna cut that.
Oh, I thought you were just gonna have the two of them cut in the middle, and then at the end it says, "Are you ready for the match?" And he says, "Yeah," and that's it. We just cut the piece with CM Punk in the middle.
So we're superstarring that? Yeah, all right. I can get on board with superstarring that.
It's like we just cut CM Punk out of our lives.
If wishes could be true.
You know, all we need is for him to hit a GTS on somebody and then like blow out his calf or his knee again. And then, oh yeah, look, there he's gone again.
I'm amazed at this point he hasn't, you know, already injured himself just getting to the ring.
Okay, main event, LA Knight. And Randy Orton versus the Bloodlines, Jimmy Uso, and Solo Sikoa.
I'm going to leave this just because we really don't have anything on this show.
So basically what you're telling me is we have the main event and a bunch of Tribute to the Troops stuff.
Yeah, which is what a Tribute to the Troops show is. Typically it's an hour show. Not on network TV because they'll throw it on like Sunday afternoon. That's like an abbreviated WWE event with one match. And usually there's military people around the ring.
And but dude, and maybe there are three or four matches, but they're all like they're house show matches and the bad guys get beat up by the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we need. That I really hope that they do it on a base, like not an arena.
Yeah, they've done that before. Like, we've seen that.
But the last couple of years, they've gotten sloppy and they keep doing them inside. Like, just set up a ring and do it outside.
Sure.
Like, there's got to be a way to do this that makes it seem less like every other SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Tribute to Troops duty probably next year, too, because they really like doing these on SmackDown.
I hope not.
Well, it'll be on USA, so it'll be fine. So that's it. Next week, we'll be back with a slightly... Well, we'll probably come out around the same time because we're going to record... We're just going to record Saturday morning.
And then we'll be a little bit later. Probably maybe a little bit later in the day. Might be an hour too late, but we'll be back.
Yep. And then we'll be back for which will be our... That's our penultimate episode. Our finale of 2023 will be on the 23rd of December, where we'll cover which will probably be more like the 24th of December. We'll cover the end of the year SmackDown.
Maybe. We'll see.
Greg's like, no promises.
I was going to say, no promises after next week, dude. Like, we'll get through we've got through this week. We'll get through next week, and then maybe we'll read the spoilers and see if we're even going to bother phoning in an episode on the 22nd or 29th.
Or we're going to leave you a lump of coal in your stocking.
Do you know what? We've had some fun over the Christmas breaks in the last couple of years. So you never know what you're going to get from us. That's the thing. I mean, maybe there'll be a Christmas miracle. Maybe, you know, we'll have a connection to Knoxville, Tennessee. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, maybe the reindeer will come. And I feel like, though, that our connection in Knoxville is like Rudolph, though. We won't let him join any reindeer games.
Okay.
And then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa will come and say, Brad and Greg, you have to play with the weird kid over there from Knoxville.
Maybe.
I mean, he doesn't have a red shiny nose, so I'm not sure how much use he's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, my printer is printing random shit right now.
Hey, I got a great idea. So if he wants to come back on the network again on the Smack Daddies podcast, well, he has to wear the red nose for the entire episode.
Oh, interesting.
He can get a red nose. I'm sure he can get a red nose from work, and he can just put it on for the whole show.
There might be one of those around. I mean, who knows? I just got a message from my wife that says printer warning. I'm like, we're still recording, sweetheart.
All right. Well, that's the end of a professional night. So yeah. From Brad and Greg, we hope that you're enjoying the winter season. And as we prepare for the holiday season, remember to love the people that you love and keep CM Punk off my SmackDown.
Amen.
We the ones.